A little boy was learning in Sunday school about telling the truth and being honest. And that was a good lesson to be learned, I think we can all agree. But he went to school on Monday, and the teacher posed a question. She said, "I want you to all tell me what your favorite animal is." And when it got to this little boy's turn, he said, "Fried chicken." The teacher said, "No, what's your favorite animal?" And he goes, "Well, I just learned about being honest. I have to tell you, it's fried chicken." And so she sent him to the principal's office, and the principal, of course, laughed and said, "Okay, well, your teacher wants to hear something different, so try to be obedient tomorrow." The next day, she said, "Okay, we're going to try this again. What's your favorite live animal?" And he goes, "Well, chicken." And she goes, "Well, why is that?" "Well, because you can make fried chicken out of it." So he was sent to the principal's office again. On the third day, the teacher thought she was safe. She said, "Okay, today I want to know, who is your favorite person in all of history?" And it got to the little boy's turn, and he said, "Colonel Sanders." He ended up in the principal's office again. Today we're going to talk about Jonah. And what do you think of when you think about Jonah? Just holler it out. A whale. Big fish. All right. Jonah is a small book. It's about four chapters. And it's a history book, a prophecy book, and it's got a psalm there in chapter 2. And before we get into the details of this, we need to talk about the story of Jonah. Because it is kind of about a fish, kind of about a whale, whatever you want to call it. But it starts with the Lord talking to Jonah. And the Lord tells Jonah to take his message of judgment against the wicked people of Nineveh. Jonah does not want to go to Nineveh, so he goes in the opposite direction. He goes down to Joppa, and he says, "What is the furthest place that you sail that I can get on a ship to today?" And that turns out to be Tarshish. Now, Nineveh was the center of Assyrian power, and so that's why he didn't want to go there. They had a ruthless army, and they were conquering nation after nation after nation, as the Assyrians were. And so to him, Nineveh was representative of everything that he hated in the Gentile world. It was idolatrous. It was a sin-ridden city. And nothing was more repugnant to Jonah than to go there and preach about repentance to them. Tarshish, on the other hand, was a place where Jonah felt like he could escape. He could maybe get away from God and maybe get away from his calling as a prophet. Spain is where Tarshish was located, and it seemed like the perfect escape for Jonah. It was an escape from God's call on his life. The voyage would have taken almost a year with all the stops in between along the way. That's how badly Jonah wanted to get away from God's calling and get away from what God wanted him to do. He was willing to spend a year on a ship to try to get as far away from God's call as he could. So Jonah boarded the ship, and it says the Lord hurled a violent wind over the sea, which threatened to tear apart the ship. This wasn't little waves. This was major storm situation. The sailors on board were scared to death, and they called out to their gods. They threw their cargo overboard, trying to lighten the ship in the storm. And as they looked around, where's Jonah? Jonah was down below trying to sleep. They quick woke Jonah up and said, "Jonah, the ship is about to go under. We need you to pray to your God so that he will save us." They then decided to cast lots because clearly this was a storm of judgment in their minds. And so they had to figure out who's causing this storm. Who is the culprit here? And they cast lots, and it landed on Jonah. They asked Jonah, "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What's your nationality?" And Jonah said, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord who made the sea and the land." Notice he doesn't say that he's also a prophet running away from God. The sailors were terrified because they knew he was running from something. And now this terrible, terrible storm was upon them. Why did you do this? They asked him. Why did you run away from God, the one who made the sea, the one who made the earth? The storm, meanwhile, is getting worse and worse and worse. And they're getting more scared and more scared that they're all going to die and drown. What can we do to stop it? They asked Jonah. And he said, throw me into the sea. This is all my fault. But the sailors didn't want that to happen, so they tried to row harder to get to the shore. The sea just got too violent, though. They couldn't make any progress, so they had no choice but to throw Jonah overboard. They said, "Oh Lord, don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us accountable for his death. You have sent this storm for your own good reasons." And they threw him into the sea, and immediately the storm stopped. The sailors were awestruck by God's power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. So even though Jonah was being disobedient in running from Nineveh, God still used him to convert these sailors into followers of Yahweh. The sailors, when they threw Jonah overboard, thought Jonah was going to die. Jonah, when he was thrown overboard, thought he was going to die. But God delivered Jonah from death. He saved him by sending a giant fish to swallow him, and it says that he was in the fish for 3 days. Now the Hebrew in this verse shows that the subject of the verse is God. So it's God doing the saving. It has nothing to do with the fish or the whale or the tuna that may have gone and picked up Jonah here. It could have been anything that picked up Jonah. It could have been a raft. Okay? But the point is that God saved him. God delivered him from death. And inside the fish, Jonah prays. And Jonah's prayer is an all-out, "Help me, Lord. Please help me. I am in a fish. I've had better days." He thanks God because he did save him from drowning, but then he pleads to God because, again, where is he? In the belly of a fish. He had been delivered for the moment, but he's not out of danger. After he prays and repents of his sin, God has the fish. The word is very descriptive. It vomits him out on the shore. So we can all imagine that. Take a minute. Okay? And the Lord speaks to Jonah a second time and says, "Now, let's try this again, Jonah. How about you go to Nineveh this time?" And so he goes to Nineveh and he goes to give them the message that the Lord had for them. The city, it says, was so large that it took 3 days to see it all. And Jonah shouted to the crowd that 40 days from now, the Lord God of Israel is going to destroy you for your wicked and sinful ways. The people who heard this responded by believing Jonah. They declared a fast. They put on burlap to show sorrow. Even the king heard about it. He stepped off his throne, put on burlap, took off his royal robes, sat on a heap of ashes, and sent a decree to the entire city saying that no one, not even the animals, can eat or drink. People and animals must wear garments of mourning. Everyone must pray to the Lord and turn from their evil ways. Stop your violence. Because who can tell? Perhaps God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger. God sees what these people are doing, responding to the word of the Lord, and he has compassion on them, and it says that he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction that Jonah was preaching. So now Jonah's obedience has saved people from the wrath of God. His obedience and his disobedience were both used by God to save people. Now this change greatly upset Jonah. Because remember what I told you about what he thought of the Ninevites? about how evil they were and how they trampled on the Lord's name and they subdued all these other cultures. He was upset that the Lord changed his mind. He says to the Lord, "This is why I went to Tarshish. You are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to anger, filled with unfailing love, eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen." So Jonah is so angry at the Lord. And why is he angry? Because he's compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's filled with unfailing love. And he's turning back from destroying people. That's how much he hated the Ninevites. That's how much he wanted them destroyed. And the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry about this?" And in the scripture, Jonah is silent at this point, just silently sulking in his anger. So Jonah goes to the east side of the city, makes a shelter, as he waited to see what would happen to the city. So he's still holding on to a little bit of hope that maybe, just maybe, God will change his mind again and smite this city. And he wants a front row seat to see these Ninevites get blown to bits. Who are we so angry with that we hope that God will send down his wrath upon them? Who in the world today are we so angry with that they are so evil that nothing can possibly be good about them? God just needs to send down his judgment and destroy them. I heard someone say something, and ISIS is who I was thinking. ISIS is a terrible terrorist group that deserves to be punished for their actions. But as a follower of Christ, our first hope for them should not be destruction. Our first hope for them should be that they will repent and turn to Christ, however unlikely that may be. Jonah didn't think there was any way in the world that Nineveh would turn to Christ or turn to Yahweh. And they did. Now God arranged a leafy plant to grow over Jonah to provide shade for Jonah. And this eased Jonah's discomfort, and he was grateful for the plant. Notice he was not grateful to God for providing the plant. He was grateful for the plant. So God then arranged for a worm. And the next morning, the worm ate through the stem, and the plant withered away. As the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow upon Jonah. And the sun beat down on his head, he grew faint, and he wished to die. He cried out, "Death is certainly better than living like this." God said, "Is it right for you to be angry that this plant died?" He said, "Yes, even angry enough to die because of it." But God said, "You didn't put any work into that plant. You did nothing for it. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. Why aren't you angry about them not knowing about me? Shouldn't I," God speaking, "feel sorry for them?" And then one of the most frustrating things happens to this story. It stops. And it drives me nuts. As a person who likes stories and storytelling, I want to know what happens next. And this cliffhanger, I don't think I'm going to find the answer out until I get to heaven. But how does Jonah respond to this? Does he finally see the light? Does he go to Nineveh? Does he preach to them about the good things of God? Or does God just allow him to die bitter in the desert. Now, some people say that the story of Jonah is a fable or a fairy tale, meant to impart spiritual truths to us, but not a real-life story. And if that's the case, if it was just a story, why not put an ending to it? I mean, come on, people. We have confidence that Jonah was a real man, and that this was a real-life story. And part of that is because Jesus refers to Jonah and refers to him as a prophet and refers to these events in Matthew 12:38. He says, "One day, some teachers of religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, 'Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority.' But Jesus replied, 'Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign that I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The people of Nineveh will stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it, for they repented of their sins at the preaching of Jonah. Now someone greater than Jonah is here, but you refuse to repent." Jesus calls Jonah a prophet and refers to the people of Nineveh as real people that Jonah preached to. The Ninevites repented and turned from their evil ways. The people that Jesus is talking to, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, do not. So as far as Jesus was concerned, this was a real story. This is something that really happened. But what does this mean for us today? It probably doesn't mean go swimming and hope a big fish eats you. But let's consider, what do we struggle with God about? What's the commandment that He has given us that is the most difficult for us to obey? What instructions from God send a little chill through us or panic us a little bit? What prompts you to say, "I'll follow you, Lord. I will do anything that you ask me to do, except that one thing"? What couldn't you do if God called you? It'd be easy to say yes to some things, right? It'd be easy to say, "Yes, Lord, I will be blessed with $1 million, and I will be a witness for you at all the fancy hotels across the universe. I'm ready." Okay? "I will tell the limo driver that you love him, Jesus, if you provide me with this money. I'll be sure to give my butler time off when he needs it to be with his family." Some of those things we'd be okay with, right? But there's some things that we're not okay with. We're not okay with Jesus calling us to do some of the hard things. Now, a funny example of this, and I've shared this to some of you before, when I was in high school, my friend and I decided to do a trip of all the 48 states. And when we planned on this map, there was one state that we said, "There's nothing there, we never want to visit it, there's no point in ever going there." And that was Kansas. We're in Kansas, guys. We say no to God for a number of reasons. And some of them we can justify and say, "Well, this is a really good reason why I can't follow God in this." But that's a mistake. That's like us running like Jonah did, trying to flee his presence. If you feel like God has called you to do something or to go somewhere, you need to go. Period. Don't run away from God. There's nowhere you can hide to be out of God's presence. The second thing that we can learn from Jonah is that even when we're caught in our disobedience, as Jonah was when he was in the fish, we can still cry out to God for deliverance. Even though Jonah knew that the reason he was in that fish was because of his disobedience, he was still able to call out to God. And often that's a very difficult time for us to pray. when we know we're in a bad place because of our own stupid choices. It's difficult to ask the Lord for forgiveness. It's difficult to ask the Lord for deliverance. We suffer from that self-condemnation and feel like, well, we're getting what we deserve. But we don't have to suffer just because we believe that we deserve it. That doesn't make us a better person or a better Christian or a better in God's eyes. We are going to have consequences for our actions, for sure. But when we try to hold on to the consequences and hold on to the guilt, we're not letting God work in our lives. We're not letting God forgive us and restore us. God meets us where we're at and rescues us even when our trouble is self-imposed. No matter what we've done, no matter the trouble that we are in, God still wants to forgive us and to restore us. Again, it doesn't mean we're never going to face consequences, and we're going to face consequences that we deserve and some that we probably don't feel like we deserve. But it does mean that if God chooses to forgive us and restore us, we should welcome that act of grace and be thankful. The third and final point I want to make this morning about Jonah is that God is the God of second chances. In some cases, third and fourth chances. God showed forgiveness to the people of Nineveh when they turned to him. God showed forgiveness to Jonah when he prayed to him in the fish. Even though what the people of Nineveh were doing was wrong and was totally against God, God still loved them enough to send his prophet and rescue them from destruction. Even when Jonah was deliberately disobeying God, God still loved him enough to give him a chance to repent and to turn back to him. How far have you walked away from God? What steps of obedience are you not taking that God has called you to? No matter how far away from God you have traveled, you have not traveled too far for God to rescue you and redeem you. God is waiting for you to turn back to him. He's waiting for you to let go of your sins, to confess your sins, to repent of your sins. What do you need to confess today? What areas of your life do you need to agree with God? Yeah, God, this is sin, and I need to stop doing it. How do you need to say, God, you're calling me to this, and I'm going to obey you, even though I may not want to, even though it's going to be hard and difficult? I'm going to do it because I know you want me to do it. We don't know how much time we have left. The people of Nineveh had a 40-day timer. And our timer is set as well. If God came to you right now and said, your timer set at 40 days, how would that change your life? What would you do? How would you be spending your time? What would your priorities be? We could leave this place, get in a car accident, and it could be over. Our time on earth is done. How will we account for our time? Will you be able to say confidently, Lord, I obeyed you. I was obedient to your call. I followed you completely, the best that I could. If you can't say that, then there's something in your life that you need to repent of. There's something in your life that you need to change. And I want you to think about that. And pray about that. God, what do I need to change? How do I need to fully commit to you as I move forward in this life that you have given me? Don't be like Jonah trying to run away from God. Don't be like Jonah just hoping that your enemies will be destroyed. Will you pray with me? God, you have blessed us so much. You have given us the gift of your Son, Jesus. God, help us not to take that for granted. Help us to see the grace that you have bestowed upon us. Help us to see the love that you have for us. Help us to turn to you obediently. God, and no matter what you ask, I pray that you will give us the strength by the power of your Holy Spirit to obey. We don't want to run to you, God, run away from you. We want to run to you. We want to be obedient. We want to follow your will for our life. I pray that you would make that clear for each one here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.